What's in a name? Do you like your name?
Yes.
Oh, lots of you do. Have you ever thought of wanting to change your name? Yeah. You're not happy being a Mildred? And you would like to be a what? Stephanie or Gertrude? It is amazing to me, names. Have you ever, Reader's Digest has often put out lists of names that are a little absurd. And it does make you wonder what some parents were thinking of when they named their children. And I certainly always hope when I present this that one of these names aren't somebody in the audience. So please forgive me if they are. Once we go through these, you may be very happy to have your own name. Have you seen these? If so-and-so marries so-and-so, the name would be... Okay, here's a few. If Yoko Ono married Sonny Bono, she'd be Yoko Ono Bono. Or if Bo Derek married Don Ho, she'd be Bo Ho. Or if Ella Fitzgerald married Darth Vader, she'd be... What's in a name? What, you know, there was a time, I don't know if they're still doing it, but when my kids were little, there was a big thing about making plaques about what your name meant, really, biblically. And so everybody was buying those. And do you know what your name means? Well, mine is close to that. Mine is Goddess of the Moon. So I don't know if it means I'm spacey or what that means. But somebody came up and told me after I shared that one time, but you know what the moon does? It reflects the light. Oh, yes, reflects the sunlight. Oh, we're going to talk about names. Our study is going to begin with a man with his name. Open your Bibles to Acts chapter 4. Our study this morning begins with a Bible character named Joseph or Joses. Originally, that was his name. That was his given name. Your name may be Martha, mine is Cynthia, but whatever. This man's name was Joses. And the apostles got to know this man. And after they got to know him, they gave him a nickname. Now, you all may have a nickname based on not like my nickname is Cindy versus Cynthia. I don't mean that kind of nickname. I mean a nickname based on who you are. Do y'all have a nickname like that? Well, let's look. Verse 36. Now, Joseph, a Levite of Cyprian birth, who was also called Barnabas, by the apostles, which translated means son of encouragement. How cool is that? I think that is wonderful. The primary mission of this man seemed to be to encourage others. Now look at chapter 4, verse 32. Let's just go up a little bit. This tells us at this point that the church in Jerusalem was experiencing extraordinary growth. And the believers there were something of a commune community. They would all share what they had, bring them together, help those who didn't have with their food, with their resource, and they would come together to build a community that is stronger. Now look at verse 37. Barnabas owned a tract of land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. He was part of this community. He was an encourager. He was a contributor to the general good of the community. Next, we see Barnabas in chapter 9. Turn to chapter 9. We're going to read verses 22 to 27. I'm reading from the New American Standard. But Saul kept increasing in strength and confounding the Jews who lived at Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. When many days had elapsed, the Jews plotted together to do away with him. But their plot became known to Saul, They were also watching the gates day and night so that they might put him to death. But his disciples took him by night and led him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in the large basket. And when he came to Jerusalem, he was trying to associate with the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took hold of him and brought him to the apostles and described to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had talked to him, and how at Damascus he had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus. Now, do you get the picture? Saul had been converted. He'd already been on the Damascus Road. He'd already met Christ and had been converted. Now he was trying to come into the community of believers. And the believers, however, were trying to stone him. They were following him and trying to stone him because they were afraid of him. Why were they afraid of him? Because yesterday he was trying to kill them. So none of them believed that this was really a genuine conversion. They may have thought he was incognito, coming into their ranks, infiltrating their ranks to get names, to turn them into the army. So they were very skeptical of his conversion. But here comes the man named Barnabas, the encourager, who really believed Saul had been saved, had been converted. So he takes Saul, puts his arm around him, brings him into the church and said, listen, folks, I'm going to vouch for this man. He really is one of us. And what a beginning that would be for Saul to have been brought in by Barnabas, a man who was respected, loved in the community. And then we know, then the missionary journeys took place and they became a team. And it's a beautiful story of two men that have come together. Next, we see Barnabas in chapter 11, verses 19 to 23. In verse 19, the word again was being effective. The church was growing. Verse 23, Barnabas came, and when he witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all to remain in the word. Verse 24, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. Verse 25, and he left for Tarsus, he looked to look for Saul. He brought him in Antioch and introduced him to the church. And later in chapter 15, we read another account of Barnabas. And I talked about this Sunday night, if any of you were in my session. This is an incident where Barnabas stands up for another man, John Mark. John Mark was Barnabas' cousin, and John Mark had gone on the first missionary journey, at least part of it, with Paul and Barnabas, but he wimped out after just two stops. And Saul said, I'm not going to take him on number two. Barnabas stood up for him, said, yes, yes, he can do it. Ended up, Saul and Barnabas parted ways. Saul took Silas, Barnabas took John Mark, continued on their journey. Later we find out John Mark becomes very valuable to Saul and is one of his dearly beloved co-workers. What a blessing it must have been to know Barnabas, the encourager. How about you? Do you have an encourager in your life? Do you have a Barnabas in your life? Well, you are blessed. Better yet, let me ask you this question. Are you a Barnabas in anybody else's life? Have you been working on the gift of encouragement? Are you looking to uplift, to feed, to be an edifier to others? Are you busy in this ministry of encouragement? If people were asked to give you a descriptive name, could you be called Barnabas? People call you Barney? We're going to spend some time looking at how you can become a Barnabas. And I thought about this. I thought, well, should I put this in third person as I present this to you, or first person or second person to you? And I'm going to present it in second person because it is my burden that you get this first. We all need this message. Before you can teach your counselees to get out of themselves, which we need to do so often in a counseling environment, don't we? To get out of themselves and to start feeding into the lives of others, we've got to be doing it. And we all need to grow.